Hi, and welcome back. So we had a preview of our previous podcast that we did with my special guest, Ivan Palacios. And we are back here again to talk about the Mexican deity, Santa Muerte. And today, again, I have my special guest, Ivan Palacios, with me. But before I get into our information or our experiences about Santa Muerte, I would like to have Ivan introduce himself.
Hello, my name is Ivan. I'm from Tijuana. I was born and raised in Tijuana, which is a border city between, or it's in Mexico and it borders the U.S. I came to the U.S. when I was 11 years old. And I'm very interested in anthropology, especially religion. So I'm excited to talk about Mexican religion.
Yay. So, you know, it's funny how we got started, because that's exactly how we got started. We were talking about religion, and then we delved into, actually, you brought up Santa Muerte, and then, you know, I have had an experience with her, and then you've had an experience with her. So here we are. How would you describe, or who is Santa Muerte? Because there's a lot of definitions on Google and on online and internet, but what is the true definition? And you coming from Mexico, with your heritage and your roots in the Mexican culture, how do you perceive Santa Muerte?
Santa Muerte is a syncretized deity. She came to be when the Mexican people adopted Catholicism, but we still kept our indigenous roots. So she's a syncretized deity, especially from the Mesoamerican goddess Mictlantecuhtli, who is basically the lady of the underworld and death.
So when we were talking, you mentioned that people have shrines for her. What are these shrines like? What do they offer? And like, what's the whole point of having a shrine? Is it like a give and take?
So the shrines, they're pretty basic. You could just put a table with her statue. Where I'm from in Tijuana is La Presa. And around my house, there was a freeway, and we would take the freeway to visit my grandma. And every time we would take the freeway, there was a shrine. So just a little background information. I grew up in the drug war of 2006. So at that time, everything to do with narcos and all of that, it got out of control. And there was just a lot of very dangerous culture going on. So when we would take the freeway to visit my grandma, there was a shrine that was frequently visited by people that were involved with drug lords. And it was a glass case, and they had a really big statue of La Santa Muerte. They would dress her up as a bride, they would put wigs on her, and the offerings that they would give her would be very earthly things like money, marijuana, cigarettes, tequila. And at that time, since it was officially a war going on, the army, they would destroy the shrine all the time, but then the criminals would rebuild it, and it was like an ongoing thing. The army would destroy it, and the criminals would rebuild it. It was back and forth, yeah.
It's not part of it, but I remember you mentioning how, like, in the mornings you would come and you would see like corpses, like during this time that you were growing up in. Would you like to describe how turbulent it was?
It was very traumatic, definitely at the time. I panicked a lot at that time. Like if my mom, she went to the grocery store, I would have to call her because I would panic that something would happen to her. Because if not, well, every day you would hear on the news and the newspaper, there was always corpses that they would find in the morning. Like they would kill them and they would display them in the middle of the night so that in the morning people would see them. So they would just put the corpses on the sidewalks, they would decapitate them, they would put the beheaded corpse sitting down on the sidewalk, and they would put the head right next to it with the fingers in their mouths. Or also by the, they would display corpses hanging from bridges. So it was very deathly, a very deathly experience. It was, I was definitely surrounded by death.
You said there were beheaded figures with fingers in their mouth. How, what were they trying to communicate?
So in Mexico, we have a sort of like a slang saying, poner el dedo, which means to put the finger on someone, and it basically means that you tell on someone. So if someone that was involved with the drug lords, if they would basically snitch on them, with like if they would get scared, they would go to the authorities and the narcos would find out, they would capture that person and they would put their fingers in their mouths, on their heads after being decapitated, because they would snitch on them. So the different types of murders, they had different meanings on the way that they were killed.
And they all worshiped this god, this deity.
I would say most of them were involved somehow in the worship or in witchcraft, because they use a lot of that they even use Catholic saints for witchcraft, especially San Judas, Saint Jude. He's also very popular amongst criminals because they kind of corrupted his symbolism, because he symbolizes people that feel helpless, and they corrupted that meaning, so they would use him for criminal activity because they were like outcasted from society for being criminal. So they corrupted Saint Jude, and they would also use La Santa Muerte, because their meanings kind of, they kind of braided the meanings between the two beings.
Wow. Yeah. How powerful do you think she is?
She's very powerful because she is very mundane, because she reflects our humanity in the sense that a divine being doesn't die because they're not alive. They're just a being existing in divinity. Death only happens when you're alive. So people reflect on that in their fears, because as earthly beings, we experience a lot of losses and fear. And so she tricks us into believing that she can help us, but she makes herself surround your life so that you don't come out of this mundane existing that we live in. And she's actually very ancient. So the Mexica, they were a warrior nation, and there was a neighborhood back then that still exists today, which is called Tepito, which is seen as the Mecca of La Santa Muerte. And those people that live in Tepito in Mexico City, they're descendants of the original people that have lived in that neighborhood for centuries. And actually, demographics show that people that are born and raised in Tepito, and they don't leave Tepito. They are born in Tepito and they die in Tepito, because since many of them worship her, she wants to keep them in that place of poverty and criminal activity so that they keep coming back to her. So she's very powerful because she doesn't let you out. She wants to keep you in that vulnerable state so that you keep coming back to her.
Right. I was just going to say, like, so she uses a vulnerability to hold on to her followers or devotees.
Yes. Yeah.
So who would you say worships her? You know, I mean, research shows that all drug lords, rapists, criminals, thieves, and But yet this generation, I have seen the younger generation, a lot of younger generation who thinks sin doesn't exist because they have given their own ideology of sin. What would you tell the younger generation who thinks it's a trend or to like start worshiping her as a cult? Like, I see a lot of young people getting involved in such cult activities. Is that something you would recommend?
So when I was a teenager in the 2010s, like the early to mid 2010s, there was a social movement where minorities in mostly in the US and Canada and like just places where there's a lot of immigrants, the social movement was where our goal was to go back to our roots, our indigenous languages, our culture. And I thought that the movement was really a beautiful thing because we were going back to our cultures. And as the years went by, it went from a social movement to a trend. So a lot of young people, millennials and Gen Z, they forgot that it was a social movement and they made it a trend. And I've seen many young people buying statues of La Santa Muerte because they think that it looks edgy to have a Grim Reaper figure. So they buy her statues and they make offerings to her without even realizing what they're getting themselves into, because they think that it's like a traditional practice. But even though I do think that it's beautiful to go back to our roots, every culture has their lightness and their darkness. And I think you can go back to your roots without getting yourself involved into darkness. So it's, yeah, so this social movement has become a trend. And they kind of just like the aesthetic of it, the look of it, the image that they think that it's cool looking, I would say. But since forever, all types of people worship Santa Muerte. It's not only criminals, but just people that find themselves in a vulnerable state. For example, I've known people that they're in life-threatening situations, so they turn to La Santa Muerte to kind of tell her, if you don't take me, if you don't let me die now, I will offer you things. The things that they offer are always earthly things. So just desperate people. Is not only evil people that worship her, it's just people that they need help. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Would you encourage people to worship her, or how can you get out once you're in this worship cult?
It's very hard to get out of, to escape her, because like I said, her purpose is mundane. She acts very quickly. If you try to communicate with her, she's not gonna give you little clues laying around for you to figure out. She's not like that. She will communicate with you very quickly. So, like I said, she's very mundane. So when you try to get out, she sees it as you saying, I'm too divine for your earthly nature. So if you try to get out, she's basically saying, I'm going to show you that you are not divine. I'm going to show you that you are mundane like me. So
you're human.
Yes.
And she's divine.
Yes. So she will take something from you, like right. Your health. You're going to lose your job or worse things than that if you try to get out.
Wow. So what is your testimony to her?
So like I said, when I was a teenager, I definitely got into the social movement of taking my roots back into me. And I've always been interested in religion. It's always been one of my favorite subjects. So I started studying La Santa Muerte, because since most people in Mexico, we are a mix of Native American and European. So I thought that I would find some sort of, like, I would see myself in La Santa Muerte because she is a mix of Native American and Spanish and even African. But I was, like I said, since I grew up around death during the drug war in Tijuana, I wanted to get to know a more positive side of her, but I was still scared of her because of everything that I've seen. And I did try to communicate with her, but I was too scared to keep going. So I did have a statue of her. It was a little one. It was a black one, which is usually associated with witchcraft, evil doings, but also protection. And since I was trying to see a positive side of her, I bought the black one because I wanted the protective side of her. But she, like you were saying yesterday, she's very suffocating. So I kind of left her statue in the corner of my room, and I would always feel like she was watching me. And I tried to not make eye contact with the statue, kind of pretend that she wasn't there, but I was just feeling depressed by the day. So one day, one of my ways to kind of make myself feel more positive is to clean my room, rearrange it, move things around. So I finally one day decided that I was gonna move my room around and throw her statue away. So I finally threw it away, and about a week later my childhood dog died.
Right.
We
went through that yesterday on our previous segment. Yeah, I mean, that was so sad. I don't want you to repeat that episode, but yeah, I'm sure our listeners would hear about that too, because it is in our previous segment. So if you would like, you can also go back and listen to that. But before I finish it, is there anything that you would like to say about Santa Muerte as a final ending?
She's not a game, and she's not a trend. She is she's a powerful entity. So if you want to connect with your roots, you can do it, but I would just say stay away from her because nothing good comes out of her. She will take something from you if you try to get close to her. She will catch you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ivan. You have opened not only my eyes, but actually there have been a few people who listened to your our segment, and they were informing me that they found it very informative, and they were really, like, they really was encouraged by hearing your words, because I do believe, like, depression, suffocation is part of how Santa Muerte keeps you aligned to her, or actually the word would be captive to her. And I personally experienced how, like, when like with devotees of her who would say, like, I feel her watching me, I feel her listening to me, like it's like a form of communication between the devotee and her. So it's like, I, you know, you have spoken a lot of truth, and I pray that whoever comes across this hears it and changes their minds and, like, try to stay in the light. You know, end of the day, it is between light and dark, and a lot of evilness, you see a lot of evilness right now in this world, and there's corruption, evilness, and, like, war happening everywhere. So it would mean a lot to come across someone who can't, if we have the ability to change someone's mind, it would mean a lot, because that would mean we are pulling someone out of darkness back into light. So I would like to end this with a final prayer. In the name of Jesus and in his mighty name, I pray for myself and Ivan. May we be protected under his divine protection, and may nothing, no evil spirit or no evil spirit attack us. May we be protected under the divine protection of His mighty name, Jesus, and in His precious blood. May Ivan go about his day with positive energy and everything good happening to him. May I go about my day with positivity and everything good happening. In the name of Jesus, I pray that we, and whoever is listening to us, may they step back into light and fight the darkness and the temptation to be associated with a dark cult. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Thank you. And one more thing before we end it, Ivan. This has nothing to do with our segment, but I would love to give a preview of what I would like to talk, if you are still available. Remember, we touched on Yemaya. Mm-hmm. So, what would you say who Yemaya is?
So, Yemaya, she originated in the Yoruba religion in West Africa. I'm not as familiar with her because she's more of countries where there's more Afro-Latinos, like in like the East Coast of Mexico, Central America, the Caribbean, Colombia. She's a deity in Santeria and all its different ramifications of Santeria. I know that she's a mother goddess in the West African religion. Mm-hmm. She's the goddess of the sea.
Oh, okay.
And as the African slaves and the indigenous people in the Caribbean, as they were being, you know, like harassed and killed by the Europeans, they had to disguise their deities as Catholic saints so they wouldn't be persecuted for their religions. So Santeria is actually called Santeria because their deities are disguised as saints. So they call it Santeria because they're working with Catholic saints who are rooted in the Yoruba religion.
See, that is truly a very interesting topic. Like, I hope if you have time, I would love to delve into that as well. But that will be our next segment if Ivan is available. And if anyone has any questions, you can always link with me through Anchor, or you can always email me at kaydilhani@gmail.com, kdilhani@gmail.com. I will definitely forward all your questions to Ivan. Ivan, do you have a way of, is there any way anyone can reach out to you to know about, or would you like to stay free from giving out that information?
I'm not really on social media anymore. Like if someone wants to ask me a question, they can do it through you. Okay. Because I'm not on social media anymore.
Okay. Sounds perfect. I'm not either. So if anyone has any questions about the involvement of this cult or how to get out of this cult, feel free to email me and I will definitely pass it along to Ivan. Ivan, thank you so much for your time, and I really, really, truly appreciate the education that you presented to us and to someone who is not aware of the ramifications. So I appreciate your time and being here, and hopefully we meet again with another segment. Thank you.
Thank you.